This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
The wall of sound is a function of this studio. There's no doubt about it.
All right, there are really four things I want to hit here, so let's see how good I can be. So we managed to satisfy all the particulars. Let's start with college game day. We already talked to Doug Gillon. We'll bring some of that conversation back in the rewind coming up at the bottom of this hour. But Sean Clark is the head coach at App. And I don't know how many people saw the post-game interview with Clark after they beat Texas A&M, but he was coming out of his skin. He was so excited. And now he gets to show off his campus, his program, to the entire world on game day.
It's a great opportunity to really showcase the history, the tradition, the culture of our program, and to really talk about, you know, the brand of App State. You know, no one really knew about Appalachian State. It was the best kept secret in college football until 2007 in the Michigan game. But you talk about our branding, the last 10 to 15 years has grown so much. And we have the best fan base in all of college football. You would think a small town in Northwest North Carolina that wouldn't be that big of a fan base. But, you know, we've already sold out the first four home games of the season. And we're expecting us to announce another sellout. So we could have 7 sellout crowds here at The Rock this season.
They had over 40,000 for the Carolina game. I know Doug Gillon, when he joined us earlier, said we had 40,000. You had more than 40,000. I think the official number was like 41 and change. The stadium only seats whatever.
Not 41,000.
That's why I keep asking about the fire marshal. All right, out to Wake Forest. Dave Clawson, you heard me say this, I think it was Tuesday, Victoria. I am amazed that with all of the speculation about other coaches at Nebraska to follow Scott Frost, who was fired after 3 games, I was amazed to not read the name Dave Clawson. Because if there is one thing we can be absolutely sure of, is that Dave Clawson is a program builder, because he has built it in a number of different locations. Is he the sexy hire? Guess what? The sexy hire gets you people who aren't necessarily that great, but just were like quasars. Dave Clawson ain't a quasar. Dave Clawson is a builder, and he did it. He is doing it, continues to do so at Wake Forest.
We had to be a little bit countercultural here. I don't think we can run the program like Alabama or Ohio State, and you're going to recruit the best 4- and 5-star guys in the country and roll them out there. So we had to be very intentional with how we wanted to build it, and part of it was quite simply finding guys that we thought could become good enough to win in the ACC through development. Having guys that fit the school academically so that we could retain them and we would be the ones that would benefit from their development, and, you know, having guys that were committed to graduating.
All of that's true, man. Schools use players to get better, get more value, get more money. Schools use players to do that.
Yeah. What's more important, looking sexy or winning games?
That's right. But players use schools to turn professional, not to use the NCAA's own promo to kind of illustrate this, but most players don't go to the NFL. And Wake has to find good players who help their program and are willing to do the work. That's what they do.
Yeah.
They use school to use football to go to school. Very important part of what's going on at Wake Forest. All right, to the NFL. And by the way, we have the first Amazon Prime game tonight.
Oh, yeah.
So this will be Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit on Amazon Prime. I believe the games are only available on Amazon Prime. So if you are not an Amazon Prime subscriber.
Me.
Okay, so you are not.
I fall into that.
Well, I mean, I don't know that I would.
Yeah.
My wife buys a lot of stuff on Amazon.
Well, then
so
it's helpful.
We have Amazon Prime. But if you are not, I don't believe you can watch this anywhere else. Diana Rossini of ESPN. Chiefs, Chargers, Chargers do not have Keenan Allen, their star wide receiver.
The Kansas City Chiefs are going to make this Chargers team run the ball because they struggled with that last week. And in terms of the receiving core, I did have a conversation with someone with the Chargers over the week just about how do you make up for that Keenan Allen production? And obviously Mike Williams steps up in there. And they do like their weapons. They do. So this isn't a situation where they're panicking. But let's just face the reality here. When you don't have your top receiver, the guy that the offense runs through, you're immediately at a disadvantage.
Yeah, you are. When you're missing your best skill position weapon. Although I would argue this. I'm not sure the Chargers' best skill position weapon isn't Austin Eckler.
Yeah.
He's a great receiver out of the backfield. There were a number of choices to go to in terms of prop bets to go to Eckler. I considered Justin Herbert to throw for 285 yards and Eckler to score a touchdown. That would have been plus 185.
No.
But I decided to buy a Mets win with my pick of the Pirates at plus 210.
Good energy out there.
I'm hoping. I'm just hoping. I'm just hoping. And if the Mets do in fact lose, at least I get something out of it.
There you go.
All right. One more thing about the game tonight. Lindsay Theory, who covers the Chargers for ESPN.com, on the Chargers being under pressure, even though they're on the road and already 1-0 this week in Kansas City.
There's a really good amount of pressure on them to be able to perform well. Look at the offseason moves that the Chargers made. They went out and got Khalil Mack. That cost a second, sixth-round pick. They signed J.C. Jackson, who is questionable going into the game. But they made several defensive linemen. They signed, three defensive linemen. They made several moves in order to win the division, in order to have a shot at going to not just the playoffs, but to really a conference championship game. So there's a lot of pressure on the Chargers to win, to make it happen this season.
Yeah. But I don't think the pressure is on them this week.
No.
I think the pressure is on I will always call them the San Diego Chargers.
Same.
The pressure is on the Chargers to win this year. And losing to the best team in the division on the road, to me, this is a free shot. I mean, if there's always pressure to win, no matter who you are. But the pressure is on the home team in this regard. You don't want to lose a division game at home against the team with whom you figure to be battling it out. You can't lose that game at home if you're Kansas City.
No.
More pressure on them. To me, it's a free shot. Here's a quarterback from the same division, Russell Wilson. And we all remember what happened in Seattle on Monday night. Russell Wilson goes home. He gets booed. He puts the Broncos, his new team, in position to drive down the field and kick a game-winning field goal. And then they get to the 47-yard line or the 46-yard line, and his head coach does something stupid, which he has admitted was a mistake now. Good for him.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that we it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance. Depending on what kind of other income you have, you could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that.
But
you can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
And he tries to kick a 64-yard field goal. At the time, Russell was like, oh, it was the right call.
Right.
What do you think now, Russ?
Yeah, for sure. I think that I think that, you know, I was at the line of scrimmage ready to go for it too. You know, I was calling a play and we were ready to go. But you know, that's what we decided and we went with it, you know, and we missed by, I don't know, yard maybe, maybe half a yard. So it was close.
It was close. But the point is, we talked about the probability of it on Tuesday. A 64-yard field goal,
mm-hmm.
1 in 5 chance.
Right.
The NFL average at 4th and 5.
Much higher.
48%.
There you go.
Like, just play the numbers game.
Yeah.
Just do that. It's so much time and 3 timeouts left.
And not using any of them.
Here's the thing, is that if we go back, if they were smarter, because they had all 3 timeouts left, I know it sounds weird, they could have even punted the ball and gotten it back.
Yeah. We've seen crazier.
Like, I'm not suggesting they should have done that, but that was still out there for them. That is your wall of sound. All right, let's get to my friend Brendan Whitted, League Pass Lair, Howard University's finest, at HU Cosell on Twitter. So let's deal with the ugly stuff first, and then we'll get to the fun stuff. Robert Sarver yesterday was fined $10 million. I'm going to give you a real-life equivalent to that in a minute. Fined $10 million, suspended from owning, I guess. They had the perks of ownership, can't go to games, not only for the Suns, but also the Mercury, which I'm sure is a tough one for him. I have thoughts on that. Because basically of being an owner in pro sports, when we're, you know, overrun with old white guys who say stupid things and act boorishly, this is where we are. Just your thoughts on how the NBA reacted to this. And we don't have to get into the details. I mean, he said racially stupid things and acted in an ugly way.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised, to be honest. I mean, because look, the ownership in these franchises and the NFL has shown you, the NBA has shown you, they are loath to hold one another accountable.
Right.
And largely it's due, and I think about this every time and this comes up with ownership, largely it's due to what Mark Cuban said during the Donald Sterling issue. And it was slippery slope argument. and essentially, which is a crazy thing to say, right? Like Donald Sterling, I was like, I feel like Donald Sterling was out there on his own, but maybe not. Mark Cuban would know a lot more about what the inner goings of what's going on in these franchises. And we saw it with Kraft, the way they handled the Kraft situation in the NFL. We saw it we're seeing it with Snyder. We've seen it with the way they handled Jerry Jones. They don't want to hold one another accountable because they can see that boomerang coming back at them at some point. And these franchises are licensed to print money. You've got collective bargaining so that you're all sharing a pool of money. You've got cap stuff that you can't spend but so much money. And you're getting tax revenue in a lot of situations from these cities. You really have to be adult not to make a ton of money off of these sort of situations. And so the last thing they want to do is rock the boat. And so when it comes to the things like, hey, we're going to take somebody's franchise from them, which, again, I just want to be very, very clear. That's not what happened with Sterling. What happened with Sterling was they persuaded that man to give his controlling interest to his then estranged wife, I guess, mm-hmm. and then she sold it to Ballmer. This was not an up-and-down vote about taking a franchise from somebody, which is a completely different situation. And so they just don't want to do it. And so the idea, I remember when this investigation started, at no point did I think, oh, yeah, Sarver's done. No.
Right.
It's going to be a suspension for a year. And what does that mean for if you're just a random fan watching? Most people don't know what Sarver looks like.
Yeah.
You're not going to watch it. You're not going to see any sort of a change in terms of the product on the court. They got the DeAndre Ayton deal done. So there's not going to even be any big contract negotiations
right.
that are going to require an owner. You know what I mean? Like, so this doesn't really mean anything in any sort of real aspect. It was the easiest way for them to kind of get away with doing a very little bit and then going and continuing on with their life.
Brendan Whitted, League Pass Lair, at HU Cosell on Twitter. Here's the thing. You gave the real answer is that the owners are afraid that their skeletons will also come out. And not all of them have issues. Heck, Mark Cuban, who we all kind of think of as a modern feeling, you know, a modern guy, he had his own issues that came out. He got sued. So, yeah, these like, when you say nobody knows what Robert Sarver looks like, he's generic major league sports owner. It's just what he is. He's the gray hair, old white guy. And that's just the reality, is that we're almost entirely that guy who owns teams. Here's the real life equivalent. Let's just say you are somebody who earns $150,000 a year, which hardly makes you rich. If your household income is $150,000 a year, it's a $129 fine. The $10 million that he was fined on to somebody who's worth $11.6 billion is $129. That isn't even if you get off, it's not even a moving violation, because court costs are going to be like $180, yep. Right? So it's not even that. It's a parking ticket that you have allowed to fester and not pay for like 3 years, which probably happens to everybody at college. So like moving on from that, well, do you think a better fine would be, or better punishment would be, especially in a salary cap league, taking money away from your available spending for that year? So Sarver can't own, but your team also loses essentially a player.
Yeah, I think so, because the difference, I mentioned Sterling earlier, the biggest difference, well, there are two big differences. One, there's not going to be a lot of public pressure once this fades from the headlines.
Right.
I give it about a week or so. And then people are pretty much going to forget. Yeah, training camp coming up in about 2 weeks for a lot of teams. And people are pretty much just going to forget about it. We're going to talk about free agency and where new guys and new places. We're going to talk about the contenders and stuff like that. And so the public is not going to have the same sort of vitriol, because there's no TMZ audio recording like there was for Sterling. Sarver's not going on 60 Minutes and sounding like a complete loon. You know what I mean? Like, he was not as messy with his nonsense, right, because it all happened in-house.
Yeah.
And so that's having a real on-court, I mentioned the on-court part, having a difference in on-court part. You know what? Now we're not going to be able to, you know, we can't sound Miles Bridges anymore Mikal Bridges, excuse me.
Right.
We can't sign him anymore to an extension, because we have this cap hit now that's going to kill us or something like that. That is something that will stay in the public's mind and stay in front of their faces a lot longer. That's not going to be the case here. Yeah, I'm missing the other difference between Sterling, and then I'll get off this. Sterling was also a bad owner, right? Like he took LA, the arguably largest market in the NBA, somewhere between them and New York, and drove them into the ground because they were terrible. He just refused to spend any money. They were a laughing stock for decades. Sarver hasn't been that, right? They, you know, Suns a lot recently have had a lot of success. You can go back to the 90s, they went to the finals. Like, they haven't been just a laughably terrible franchise. So there was a lot of animus built up within the NBA circles for Sterling, even before all that other stuff sort of came to light, because the in terms of time being, Sterling had been doing that. So Elgin Baylor had a harassment lawsuit versus Sterling way back in the G, and that's a Hall of Famer doing that. So plenty of people knew, and plenty of people seem to know about Sarver, which is interesting. CP3 came out and pretty much admonished the league that the punishment wasn't enough and this behavior isn't acceptable. But as not only an executive member of the MBPA, but also a player on the Suns, he's played for both, by the way. Terrible look by that guy. But like, I was surprised that he didn't mention anything specifically. And I wonder about if the length of time, the duration of time between some of these actions and currently also affected the investigation, because no player has come out.
Right.
And so that makes it a lot less messy, because we all remember the players, you know, turning their stuff inside out for Sterling and not really wanting to play for him. That wasn't the case there. You haven't had anybody, Booker or CP3 or any of their players, kind of talk about him in a negative light publicly.
No question. Real quick about Sarver is also the owner of the Phoenix Mercury. And I just want people to understand this element. In many cases, it's unfortunate. Sarver, I'm sure, does not give a damn about what the Phoenix Mercury do, because I think, for the most part, he's like some of the other people who own WNBA franchises, like Mark Allen. What's the guy's name who owns the Raiders? I don't know why I'm drawing a blank.
Mark Davis.
Mark Allen. So he owns the Raiders and he owns the Las Vegas Aces.
This episode is brought to you by Carvana. They'll drive you happy. Carvana has purchased over 1 million cars from happy customers by giving them an offer within minutes. And they can do the same for you. Carvana will give you a real offer for your car within minutes. Then they'll come to pick up your car and pay you on the spot. So to get a real offer on your vehicle in minutes, download the app or visit Carvana.com.
And while they're playing in the conference finals, the WNBA finals.
They're a game away. AJ Wilson and Chelsea Gray could score. Right.
So game one of the WNBA finals are in Las Vegas, and he chooses to go with the Raiders to Los Angeles for game one of the NFL season and said, well, it was a tough choice, but I had to wear this. It's Josh McDaniels' first game, and I feel like he needed, get out of here. You didn't care about your team playing for the championship. That's why you went. But he can't say that. And he's probably not alone in that. I don't think Robert Sarver cares about the Phoenix Mercury either, except whatever money he can get out of it. All right, let me ask you real quick about, I want to get two things in here about the NBA. Steph Curry said the quiet stuff out loud. We had conversations about Kevin Durant returning via trade. What would it have cost? And would that have been damaging to Kevin Durant's legacy if he goes back to Golden State and wins another title there?
I actually think that we're going to look back on Kevin Durant's legacy a lot more fondly than we look at it in
amazing player.
Yeah, he's an amazing player. Like he's arguably a top 10 player of all time and one of the best scorers we've ever seen. I think we'll look back on it a lot more fondly than he kind of gets credit for now.
Okay.
Would it have damage? I mean, look, there's a lot of people that feel like his, for whatever reason, his titles don't count when he joined a really good team.
Oh, no, they count.
I mean, some people don't look at it that way. Some people look at if he had won one in OKC, it would be more, it would give him more credit than his two in Golden State. I don't really do that sort of math. That's not really how my one is not as great as two. But there is something to be said for, I guess, doing it as the guy. Now, he was the best player on those Warriors teams, so it's hard for me to even really get around that. But it would definitely come up again. And look, Durant's talked about it. He talked about like not having that fulfillment that he thought he would have after winning those titles. After catching so much flack for coming up short in OKC, he thought, all right, I would get maybe the outside accolades that I deserve if I get these two finals MVPs and back-to-back wins. All right, cool. Now you're going to look at me on the same level as LeBron. And I was just like, nah. The math don't math when it comes to that sort of stuff. Because even though he was the best player, he wasn't the most important player on that Warriors team. It's Steph's team. Everybody knows that, regardless of it being him being KD being an all-time great player. Yeah, it would for some people it would look kind of, especially coming on the heels of going to a Nets team that you helped construct and how badly it's gone in New York. Like I think it's the juxtaposition of both of those things. Like, damn, you had to go run back to Steph after you went out on your own. Like, oh, I'm gonna do it on my own, key it up with my homie, and we're gonna just do it big, and then get murked out in the way and fashion that they did. Last time we saw them, they got swept, and that's pretty much all that anybody's been talking about this offseason.
Brendan Whitted, League Pass Layer at HU Cosell on Twitter. Which do people remember more, do you think? The two LeBron James titles in Miami with Dwayne Wade or the one in Cleveland? Even though the Cleveland one isn't quite the same as what they constructed in Brooklyn, I think LeBron's going to be dining out on the Cleveland Cavaliers NBA title for the rest of his life in terms of winning championships.
But that had as much, I think, to do with the opponent, though, right? First off, that Miami Heat team was fun.
It was awesome.
Some people didn't like it, but Wade Bosch and LeBron's one team was fantastic.
And
but
it really was back, by the time they won it, it really had become LeBron's team, right?
Oh, absolutely. It absolutely had. But I think beating a 73-9 team, coming back from 3-1 down, like, and then going back to your home state and doing it big like that, I think the story is much bigger. Like,
of course it is, but it's that's the one we're going to remember.
Not the Lakers one? No, I'm just joking.
Yeah, I'm with you. I actually have forgotten it. maybe because they've been so bad.
This is the Adam Gold Show.